The Morning Star and the Evening Star, a fairy tale from Romania.
Once upon a time, something extraordinary happened. There was once an emperor and an empress who were childless. So they sought out all the wizards and the witches, all the old women and astrologers, but their skill proved in vain. No one knew how to help them. At last the royal pair devoted themselves to almsgiving, prayer, and fasting, until one night the empress dreamed that the Lord had taken pity on her, and appearing to her said, "I have heard your prayers, and will give you a child, whose like cannot be found on earth. Your husband, the emperor, must go to the brook tomorrow with a hook and a line. Then you are to prepare with your own hands the fish he catches and eat it." Before it was fairly daylight, the empress went to the emperor and woke him, saying, "Rise, my lord husband, it is morning. Why, what ails you today, wife, that you would wake me so early?" The emperor replied, "Has any foe crossed the frontiers of my country?" "Heaven forbid! I've heard nothing of that sort, but listen to my dream." And she told him about it. When the emperor heard her story, he jumped out of bed, dressed, took his hook and line, and gasping for breath, went to the brook. He threw in the hook and soon saw the cork on the line bob. He pulled it out, and what did he see? A big fish made entirely of gold. It was a wonder that he did not die of joy. But what did the empress say when she saw it? She was still more out of her wits. The empress cooked the fish with her own hands, and the royal couple ate it. And the empress instantly felt that the promise would be fulfilled. The maidservant, who cleared away the table, saw a fish bone on the empress's plate and thought she would suck it, just to know how food tastes when being prepared. It's been prepared by a royal's hands. One day, the empress received a gift of a beautiful baby boy, as handsome as a little angel. That same night, the maidservant, too, had a little son who looked exactly like the prince. They could not be distinguished one from the other. The maidservant's child precisely resembled the royal one, and the prince's name was Andre. The maidservant's son was called Stefan. They grew up together, were taught their lessons, and learned as much in one day as other children in a whole year. When they were playing in the garden, the empress watched them from a window with great delight. They became tall youths and looked so much alike that people could never tell which was prince and which was the maidservant's son. They were haughty and bearing, both were charming, winning in speech, and brave to a fault. One day, they determined to go hunting. But the empress was constantly fretting herself to find some way of recognizing her own son, for their faces were all alike, and their clothes were precisely the same. She often could not distinguish one from the other. She therefore thought of putting some mark on the prince. So she called him, while pretending to be playing with his hair, knotted two locks together without his knowledge. Then the youths went off to hunt. They hurried joyously through the green fields, skipped about like lambkins, gathered flowers, sprinkled themselves with dew, watched the butterflies flit from blossom to blossom, saw bees gathering wax and honey, and enjoyed themselves immensely. Then they went to the spring, drank some water to refresh themselves, and gazed unwearily at the sky, which met the earth on the horizon. They would fain have gone to the end of the world to see it close at hand, or at least far enough to reach the spot where the earth grows marshy before it comes to an end. Next they went to the woods. When they saw the beauties of the forest, they stood with mouths wide open in astonishment. Consider that they had not beheld any of these things in their whole lives. When the wind blew and stirred the leaves, they listened to their rustle, and it seemed as if the empress was passing by, drawing her silken train after her. Then they sat down on the soft grass underneath the shade of a big tree, Here, they began to reflect and consult each other about how they were to commence hunting. They wanted to kill nothing but wild beasts. They did not notice the birds which hopped around them and perched on the boughs of the trees. They would have been sorry to hurt them, for they liked to listen to their song. It seemed as if the birds knew this. They showed no fear, but sang as if they were going to split their throats. The nightingale, however, trilled only their cause, that their songs might be the sweeter. While they stood there consulting, the prince suddenly felt so overwhelmed with fatigue that he could no longer, but laying his head in Stefan's lap, he asked him to stroke his hair. While doing so, Stefan stopped and said, "What is the matter with your head, brother André? What should be the matter? Should I know, brother Stefan?" "Just see," said Stefan, "two locks of your hair are tied together." "How is that possible?" said André. This discovery vexed the prince so much that he determined to go out into the wild world. "Brother Stefan," he said, "I am going out into the wild world because I can't understand why my mother tied my hair while she was playing with it." "Listen to reason, brother André, and do nothing of the sort," replied Stefan. "If the empress tied your hair, it was certainly not for any evil purpose." But André remained firm in his resolve. And when he took his leave of Stefan, he said to him, "Take this handkerchief, and if you ever see three drops of blood upon it, you will know I am dead." "May the Lord help you, brother André, that you may prosper, but I beg you once more, by my love, stay." "Impossible," replied André. Then the youths embraced each other, and André departed. Stefan remained behind, gazing longingly after him till he was out of sight. Stefan then returned to the palace and related all that had happened. The empress was insane with grief. She wrung her hands and wept until it was pitiful to see her. But she did not know what to do, and at last comforted herself a little by gazing at Stefan. After some time, the latter took out the prince's handkerchief and looked at it and saw three drops of blood on it and said, "Oh! My royal brother is dead. I shall go and look for him." Taking some provisions for the journey, he set out in search of André. He passed through cities and villages, crossed fields and forests, wandered on and on till he reached a small hut where he met an old woman whom he asked about his brother. The crone told him that André had become the son of the emperor who reigned in the neighborhood. When Stefan reached the emperor's palace, the princess, as soon as she saw him, thought he was her husband and came running to meet him. But he said, "I am your husband's brother. I have heard that he is dead and come here to learn something about him." "I cannot believe it," replied the princess. "You are my husband, and I don't know why you deny it. Has my faith been put to any test, and have I ever deceived you?" "Nothing of the sort, but I tell you truthfully, I am not your husband." The princess would not believe this. So Stefan said, "The Lord will show the truth. Let the sword hanging on yonder nail scratch whichever one of the two of us is mistaken." Instantly the swords were down and cut the princess's finger. Then she believed Stefan and gave him the hospital day, which was his due. The next day he learned that André had gone out hunting and had not yet returned. So he, too, mounted a horse, took some greyhounds, and rode after his brother, following the direction in which he had gone. He rode on and on until he reached the forest, where he met the wood witch. As soon as he saw her, he set off after her. She fled, he pursued, until perceiving no way of escape, she swung herself up into a tall tree. Stefan dismounted, tied his horse to a tree, made a fire, took out his provisions, and began to eat, occasionally tossing the greyhound something to eat. Oh dear, I'm so cold," said the wood witch. "My teeth are chattering." Get down and warm yourself by the fire," said Stefan. "I'm afraid of the dogs," she said. "Don't be frightened. They'll do you no harm." If you want to do me a favor, the woodchuck answered, take a strand of my hair and tie your dogs with it. Stefan pulled the hair, put the hair in the fire. Oh, how horrible! The hair I gave you smells that you have put it into the fire. Go away from here and don't talk any more nonsense, replied Stefan. One of the hounds put its tail a little too near the fire and scorched it. That's what smells so bad. If you're cold, come down and warm yourself. If not, hold your tongue and let me alone. The wood witch believed him and came down and approached the fire and said, I'm hungry. What shall I give you to eat? Take what you want of all I have. I would like to eat you, said the wood witch. Prepare for it, and I will devour you, replied Stefan. He set the hounds upon her to tear to pieces. Stop, cried the wood witch. Call off your hounds that they may not tear me, and I'll give you back your brother with his horse and hounds and all. Stefan called off the dogs. The wood witch swallowed 3 times, and up came André, his horse, and his dogs. Stefan now set his hounds upon her, and they tore her to mincemeat. When André recovered his senses, he wondered at seeing Stefan there and said, Welcome, I'm glad to meet you so well and gay, brother Stefan, but I have been asleep a very long time. You might have slept soundly till the end of the world if I had not come, he replied. Then Stefan told him everything that had happened before their party until that moment. But André suspected him. He thought that Stefan had won his wife's love and would not believe him when he told him the simple truth, that such an idea never entered his head. Now that André had once begun to be jealous of his bride, he acted like a lunatic. So, being empowered by evil thoughts, he made an agreement with Stefan to bandage the eyes of their horses, mount them, and let them carry their riders wherever they would. This was done. When André heard a groan, he stopped his horse and untied the bandage and looked around him. Stefan was nowhere to be seen. Just think, he had fallen into a spring and been drowned, and never come out again. André returned home and questioned his wife. She told him the same story as Stefan. Then, to be still more certain of the truth, he too ordered the sword to jump down from the wall and scratch the one who was wrong. The sword leapt down and wounded his middle finger. The prince pined away, lamenting and weeping bitterly for the loss of Stefan, and sorely repenting his undue haste. But all was vain. Nothing could be changed. So his grief and his anguish unresolved, he would not live any longer without his brother. He ordered his own eyes and those of his horse to be bandaged, mounted, and bade to hasten to the forest where Stefan had perished. The horse went as fast as it could, and plump, it tumbled into the very same spring where Stefan had fallen. And there André too ended his days. But at the same time, the morning star, the emperor's son André, and the evening star, the maidservant son Stefan, appeared in the sky. Into the south, then I sprung, this tale to tell is old and young.